This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. For 40 years, Heinz Hospice has been working to comfort terminally ill patients and help their loved ones say goodbye. But their counseling services are available to anyone in the community in need of grief support, services that are proving to be particularly vital as we move through the pandemic. To learn more, I spoke with Kathy Cromwell, Heinz Hospice Executive Director of Counseling and Support Services. How has the pandemic impacted the work that you do?
I would say that we have seen our work impacted by the pandemic in a variety of ways. As it relates to those clients that we're serving that are grieving the loss of a loved one, the pandemic has really impacted, one, just the rituals around loss, whether that be memorial services, family gatherings, specific faith traditions that haven't been able to take place because of the pandemic and the restrictions of gathering. That really impacts that experience for loved ones who are grieving. And when we think about one of the things that occurs as we come together in these rituals is the shared community and that shared sense of support. So grievers have certainly been more isolated in that grief experience. I would say another thing that's really occurred in the pandemic that we saw is people reaching out for grief support. And for some of them, it might have been a couple of years since the loss. And they found that with more time isolated, that they were having more of an emotional response to the loss. So some people shared, you know, I slowed down and I'm really feeling the feelings of this loss. And I don't understand this because the loss occurred 2 years ago. And why am I feeling this now? Of course, we know that grief is unending. It certainly changes over the course. But I think what we saw is people were feeling things in that slowing down. And then also related to the grief of the experiences that were in the present that impacted that loss for them.
Obviously, people really struggle to talk about death and dying. It's not something that we as a culture are particularly well equipped to handle. I would love to hear your thoughts about what we all stand to gain by building our capacity to talk about death and dying.
Absolutely. And you are so accurate in that description of how we look at that as in our society and don't have the conversations. I teach a course, Kathleen, actually at Fresno State called Death and Dying. It's an elective undergraduate course in the social work gerontology department at Fresno State. And the students will even share how when they tell others about this class that they're taking called Death and Dying, the responses that they get in just sharing that they're going to be taking a class that talks about death and dying and end of life. And one of the things that I share with the students on the first night of class that I truly believe in 20 plus years of working in hospice as well, that when we learn about dying, I think we also learn about living. And as hard as the subject can be, and I do understand that, the feelings that come up for people, you know, thinking about losing a loved one or their own deaths, you know, we have an emotional response to that. We all have our own story of our losses in our life. And so I certainly validate that. But at the same time, when we have these discussions, it can really impact end of life in a different way. And so what I mean about that is families can talk about maybe some things that are unresolved or planning for funeral or what are their end of life wishes, because that's so important for families to know, because sometimes those wishes haven't been known and family members might have a different interpretation of what their loved one would have wanted. And that's really difficult to sort out as you're also emotionally in this time of saying goodbye or have just lost a loved one.
Earlier, you were talking about how the pandemic has forced some of us to reflect and intensified some feelings. And certainly this has just been an incredibly challenging year and a half for so many people. And then on top of that, the news just in the last couple of weeks has been incredibly difficult. You know, we've seen so many lives lost, you know, between the rise in COVID cases and Hurricane Ida and Afghanistan, and then all of that happening as we approach the anniversary of 9/11. It's just collectively a lot. And I'm sure that it's left a lot of people with a sense of anxiety or depression. What advice do you have for how to manage periods like this when the news is so heavy and potentially triggering?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think currently we can all really relate to that. And especially as we see, you know, visual examples of the pain and the loss and the layers of that. Again, we have our own experiences and our perceptions and our grief related to these losses. And so I think, you know, what I would say is, one, allow yourself to honor those feelings for you. And so what I mean by that is sometimes we will, you know, minimize, maybe we have an emotional reaction to watching an event that you shared about, Kathleen, and then we'll say, well, gosh, why am I getting so upset? Because there's people, you know, that are, you know, have it worse or experiencing this firsthand. And so we sometimes even shame ourselves about our emotional reactions. So I always encourage to allow our feelings and allow those emotions and to process them. And so that might be processing them with a friend or journaling and just allowing a space for them without judgment and self-criticism.
You know, I'm curious, how has your work with people facing life-limiting illnesses, as well as, you know, people who have lost loved ones, shaped your approach to living?
I guess, you know, I would say there's an increased sensitivity to just not knowing what people are going through and just having an awareness, I guess, of that, that often when you encounter someone, you really don't know what is happening in their life. And many times in grief and loss, we may not share that, what that experience is and what we're currently going through. I would say, in addition to that, working with those at the end of their life has just really taught me about the importance of conversations and communication and just how helpful that can be in a relationship end of life and in the journey of grief. You know, when I think of myself, I was a young 26-year-old when my father was a hospice patient. And I still can vividly remember him starting a particular conversation with me. And looking back, Kathleen, I wish we could have had this conversation. Yet the feelings that came up for me when he began to share, I shut it down really quick because I just wasn't sure how to maneuver it and manage those feelings. And I don't beat myself up about that because I just, you know, I know that I was having that emotional response. Yet 20 years later in doing this work, I think, wow, I wish I could have let my dad continue to communicate what he was trying to say to me before shutting it down. And so, you know, did some work in that in journaling and just, you know, within in my heart to have that conversation with my dad. But I think what happens is so often the emotions come up and it can almost paralyze us, you know. And so being able to have that support, and, you know, that's one of the things I think certainly about hospice care and having that team support that can just help facilitate and give some ideas around those end of life conversations.
Well, I've been talking with Kathy Cromwell from Heinz Hospice. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Kathleen.